You've heard me talk for years about the breakthrough health benefits of CBD. Now, our friends at CV Sciences have developed an innovative suite of non-CBD products that mimic CBD's healthful effects. CV Sciences' new Plus Health CBD-free line of gummies and capsules. The Plus Health Clarity gummies are packed with DMAE, lion's mane, and rhodiola designed to boost your cognitive performance, enhance memory, and provide natural energy. You need a little peace and calm? Plus Health's Peace Gummies, soothing blend of L-theanine, lemon balm, and St. John's wort support serenity and relaxation without the drowsiness. And if you're on a journey towards optimal health, the Reshape capsules are packed with powerful ingredients like berberine and OEA to support metabolic health and help maintain healthy blood sugar levels. For more information and to order, head over to pluscbdoil.com/Hoffman. Use coupon code Hoffman30. For 30% off. That's pluscbdoil.com/Hoffman for the new Plus Health non-CBD collection. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Today, it's my pleasure to talk to a leader in the field of integrative medicine and natural healing. He's a good colleague of mine. He is local here in New York, so we're able to get together. He is spearheading an effort to get integrative medicine front and center within our efforts to deal with chronic diseases here in America. And most fortuitously, he recently attended a very exciting roundtable discussion in Washington, D.C., presided over by Senator Ron Johnson, he and the Senate Bay, with some outstanding exemplars of the field of integrative medicine. And it was a really exciting conference. I attended it online virtually, but he was there in person. And I want to talk about it and get some of his impressions. He's Alec Lubarsky, founder of Science of Human Optimization, Inc. He's author of a couple of books, The Art of Selling, The Art of Healing, and also a book entitled Youthful Longevity, which I understand came out recently, Why Living Until 100 Vibrant, Productive, and Fulfilling Years is Your Birthright and Mandate. That's an encouraging note. And over 25 years, he's been a passionate promoter of some of the most innovative physicians specializing in ageless beauty and peak performance function and youthful longevity. So he is champion of this field, and we want to get his impressions on what's happening in the field of natural medicine, which recently has been platformed in the national healthcare debate. So welcome, Alex. It's a pleasure having you on Intelligent Medicine. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Dr. Hoffman. Great to see you. Great to be here with you. It's an honor. Privilege.
It is indeed. And turnaround is fair play because I graced your great podcast recently. And so I said, let's do it from my end. And we actually wanted this to coincide with the launch of your book, Youthful Longevity. But very fortuitously, and this is just by serendipity, I understand that just a couple of days ago, you were in Washington and you attended a very exciting conference. That was presided over by Senator Ron Johnson. Speakers included Callie and Casey Means, authors of Good Energy, and also RFK Jr., Marty McCary, and quite a few luminaries from the field of natural medicine. But before we get into that, because we'll save that for a little later in today's podcast, tell us a little bit about your journey and how you became such a proponent of this style of healing.
Thank you very much, Dr. Hoffman. It's been quite the journey, and I didn't plan to go on this journey. I had other plans, but life works in mysterious ways and doesn't really ask you a lot of times what your plans might be. So I was, I was interested in business. So I was building different business ideas. In the automotive business, in the taxi business, in the jewelry business, in the direct sales business.
It's fair to say you were an entrepreneur. And just, yeah.
I don't think anybody called us that then.
That's a fancy word.
That's the
What's the matter? Do they call you a wheeler dealer? Is that a problem?
Wheeler dealer.
Shyster, I don't know, whatever. Muffins.
That kind of thing. But I like it, you know, because I tend to be more creative and I like to work with my creativity. So that allowed me to do that. It allowed me to work with people, come up with different ideas and concepts and then bring them to life. And that to me is the most exciting thing to be doing. So when Apple was within my mid-30s, prime of my life, really, I was diagnosed with psoriatic arthritis after going to a bunch of doctors and trying to figure out what the problem was. But basically, I couldn't barely get myself out of a chair because my hips hurt so bad. And I couldn't pick up a cup because my fingers and wrists were so inflamed.
For our listening audience, if different medical stuff, but just let me explain briefly. Psoriatic arthritis is, I mean, it sounds like just psoriasis, but actually it is an illustration of how inflammation affects both all systems of the body. It affects the skin on a superficial level, but internally it affects the joints, and it can have devastating effects, you know, destroying the joints, requiring joint replacement surgery. It can be a crippling disease. It's on a spectrum. Sometimes there's more psoriasis and sometimes there's more arthritis. Sometimes there's virtually no skin problems, but it's more of the joints. That's a pretty potentially debilitating condition to develop at a young age.
Yeah, it was pretty awful. And I didn't know what to make of it exactly. But when I went to the doctor, like you're supposed to, I took my excellent health insurance card. I went to a local dermatologist. Took a month to get it to see him. And then he saw me for 3 minutes and diagnosed it as psoriasis. He had no idea of the other part of the diagnosis, which was probably worse than the psoriasis and the fibrosis.
A misdiagnosis, in fact, is, oh, you have like this skin lesion is psoriasis, so you have a little psoriasis.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know if it was a misdiagnosis. It was like no diagnosis.
Right.
He wasn't long enough to misdiagnose. He was there long enough to see the patch of skin and pronounced that it's psoriasis and give me a steroid cream. So that was the extent of our interaction. And, you know, so I found that a bit peculiar, you know. That's not what I was expecting because the amount of money we'd be paying into health insurance for a decade prior, I imagined it to be a little bit different. But, you know, it is what it is. So I was diagnosed with psoriatic arthritis. And after my frustration with the medical system, as it were, I decided to go to a little bit of a different route, and it so happened that for the last year or so, I started a radio show, and I was interviewing a lot of the doctors I met in my circles as I got into healthcare, in the healthcare business. And I met really some really amazing physicians, many of whom, like you, had an interest in getting to the root cause of the chronic problem, and many of them had their own health issues, and that kind of what propelled them in that direction. So one doctor, you know, Dr. Rick Lynch's, Richard Lynch's.
Indeed. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was diagnosed with terminal lung cancer 2 years before I met him. And he actually reached out to me because he was starting his new practice focused on, you know, functional medicine. He was working out of a little tiny office in the basement. He was just working with his friends and, you know, trying to help people. He was just figuring it out himself. But then he asked me to market his practice. And so we met. I liked it right away. He's very beautiful, likable man.
He was also a personal friend. I mean, just a lovely person. And just for background, you know, he had a very illustrious career as a conventional physician. And when he himself was diagnosed with cancer, he did a deep dive on the subject of cancer. You know, you could tell the story in terms of his remarkable survival of a very, very... imminently fatal cancer using integrative techniques. But then he brought that to bear in his practice. He switched from his previous specialty entirely to focus on integrative cancer treatment.
Yeah. So he was diagnosed, they gave him 2 years survival rate and very callously. So his experience with medicine from the other side was just as disappointing as, well, maybe not just as, maybe worse than my experience with it. So he started in that basement office kind of tinkering around, trying to help people get to the root cause of the problem. So by then I already had joint pain. So I told him, listen, why don't I market your practice? You can work on me and we'll use me as the model of what you're capable of doing in with people with chronic conditions. So that's what we did. It still cost me a fortune to do it because, all the tests and all the supplements and all the IV therapies and everything else that he needed to do with me, I had to pay for. And I did, all out of pocket. Insurance, they couldn't do anything with insurance because that's just not the model. And so we started working together. Within 90 days, he helped me permanently resolve the arthritis part of my diagnosis, which was 20 years ago. So I became a believer instantly. The psoriasis was getting worse from 1 year to the next. Unfortunately, Rick, although he lived another 15 amazing years, passed away from 10 years ago or so. And so I've been on my own trying to figure out the psoriasis part. And it's been tricky. But finally, we created a model that I was able to get a handle on that as well. And it looks like, I don't want to be too optimistic, but it looks like we healed that problem as well. It's about 90% better, but I'm looking for like a permanent cure. I'm looking for.
And you're well aware that the standard treatment for psoriasis and now psoriatic arthritis recently approved are these powerful immunosuppressive medications, so-called biologicals. And in fact, if you watch cable TV, the cable, the news channels, there's continuous ads for medications like Skyrizi and so on, showing people engaged in outdoor activities who are now no longer embarrassed because of their psoriatic plaques because they take these medications, whose price can run, tens of thousands of dollars a year. It's actually pretty lucrative to get these medications on TV because, once you got a patient on those medications, which have to be taken virtually for a lifetime, that's a wonderful sinecure for a pharmaceutical company.
Well, RFK, Robert Kennedy Jr. says that a sick child is the most profitable thing to our healthcare system, which is such an unfortunate state of affairs. And also the pharmaceutical industry advertises to the public only in the United States and New Zealand.
Two countries in the entire world are where they allow these drugs to be pitched to the public, in which you're supposed to ask your health practitioner, I just saw an ad for this very, very unusual cancer drug, Keytruda. Maybe that drug is right for me.
It's a criminal enterprise, and it's very unfortunate that it controls a lot of the media and the systems and the doctors and infrastructure.
And legislators as well.
It's wonderful for everybody except those people like me who have a chronic condition. They want to resolve permanently. They're not looking to manage it with medication. But like methotrexate is an immunosuppressant that comes with a black box warning of a terminal infection. So for me personally, I'm not interested in any of that kind of stuff. So you don't want to fix this from the root cause, which it turns out is not that complicated. If somebody like me, who's not a medical professional, could figure it out, then, with the help of remarkable doctors, I should say, it's fixable. So it wasn't an error on their ability to find the problem. It just wasn't profitable to find the problem. So that's the state of affairs that we're in.
And by the way, that's a segue to one of the more remarkable testimonies, because they had a variety of speakers at this round table under the auspices of Senator Ron Johnson in Washington a couple of days ago. They had the daughter of Jordan Peterson. I forget her name. Perhaps you recall her name, but she's a young lady. And she begins to recount her story, which is that as a child, she was diagnosed with a tragic disorder, JRA, juvenile rheumatoid arthritis. A lot of people think rheumatoid arthritis is a disease of middle-aged and elderly people, but actually it can afflict children tragically. And she was devastated by it, did conventional treatment with immunosuppressive medication, which didn't work. She required knee and ankle surgery, joint replacement. And it was a child, very, very aggressive treatment, became depressed and, extremely debilitated from the side effects of the medication and from the underlying condition. And then embarked on a natural pathway. And today she's virtually disease-free. Has had a couple of children, I understand, successful pregnancies, which would have been impossible while taking these powerful immunosuppressive medications that have birth defects as cardinal side effect. So there was this dramatic testimony along the lines of your recovery of the power of an integrative approach, a natural approach. And that was really the theme, was that we have all these diseases, but these diseases can be conquered if only we would explore a different model.
Jordan Peterson, for one, with his daughter, I've heard him speak about his daughter's condition.
Michaela, I think is her name. Yep.
That's exactly right. Yeah. I heard him speak about her condition a few times on his podcast. So when she was there in person, it was just a different experience to hear her. So mm-hmm. It was amazing. And, you know, like you could clearly hear how that condition affected her, but also, you know, Jordan Peterson himself.
Yeah.
As a father to see his child have to go for that kind of invasive surgery, which turns out could have been fixed with diet. That'll get you upset.
Yeah.
So he was there, all guns blazing. And a lot of the people who were there have experienced chronic illness that they have to figure out on their own to resolve. And they're all pointing the finger at our food industry, our medical system, our pharmaceutical system, and all that. There was a young woman, Grace Price, there. She was 18 years old. She was diagnosed with some kind of a childhood cancer or something. And you should have seen her speak. I mean, I don't know if you did, but
I missed that because I had to do a podcast during the last hour. I think she appeared later in that, so I had to jump on her podcast.
She was just amazing. Such an inspirational young woman. Was so well-spoken at 18, so confident to be in that kind of an arena. I was blown away. I was blown away by all these speakers. They're all there because they had a mission and a passion, including RFK. So the senators were interested, and some of the senators came to listen.
Yeah.
Matt Gaetz showed up and a few others. So I was very inspired to be a part of that, to be in that room, and to hear these people.
And to feel that you're part of this movement, that this is what we're
about. I've been waiting for this for 20 years. You probably longer, Dr. Cobb, and I never thought this day would come. You know, it just seemed sort of possible.
Mm-hmm.
I was just doing like everybody else what I feel the right thing is, helping people get to the root cause of their chronic illness and resolve it permanently. And that created the infrastructure so we can do that on a regular basis instead of waiting until we develop a chronic illness, optimize the body, keep it optimized so you never develop these chronic illnesses to the best of your ability.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing is guaranteed 100%, but you know, there are practical things you can do. If you change the oil on your car, make sure the tires are not worn out, the brake pads are there, the oil filter isn't clogged, your car will run much longer than if you neglect these things. And the human body is not much different. You know, you can optimize, make sure you have enough vitamins and minerals in your body, make sure you don't have any toxicity, heavy metals, parasites, make sure that your genetics are conducive to your daily activities.
Yeah.
Your environment is not poisoning you, you know, basic things like that. And in my mind, circumvent a lot of these chronic problems and live a longer, healthier life. So that's the point.
It seems that we've lost the instruction manual for our bodies, because our bodies were designed over hundreds of thousands of years of very slow, exquisite evolution, where we adapted to new climates, new food sources, until perhaps 8 or 10,000 years ago, when we invented agriculture, we started to domesticate things. And that was a little different. We began to eat different foods. But then we had the Industrial Revolution relatively recently, a couple of hundred years ago, and all of a sudden we began to create Frankenfoods. And over especially the past century, we've departed so far from our biological blueprint that it is no wonder that we're seeing record numbers of chronic diseases that never before were seen in children. RFK Jr., you know, like him or not, a lot of people, he's a controversial figure, especially with his views on vaccines, but he's been so articulate. He musters the facts in such a persuasive way about the way our healthcare system has gone downhill. And, you know, he pointed out, for example, that in spite of the fact that our healthcare costs were 3 or 4 times greater than the costs per capita in many other, quote, civilized countries, Americans live 8 years fewer than people, say, in Japan or Switzerland. And we're falling behind in the race to extend longevity. Other countries, they're living longer. They're living into their 80s on average. We've declined to the mid-70s. And, you know, a lot of this has to do with our soaring rates of obesity, metabolic disorders, which seem to drive virtually every chronic disease imaginable, cardiovascular disease, cancer, neurological diseases, and indeed, even childhood diseases. So people should read the transcript at the very least, perhaps view this, because I think some of these people really articulate about in their critique of our current healthcare system.
Well, it was a very inspirational event, one of the best I've been to in a very, very long time, perhaps the best. The kind of people that were there, and the fact that the leaders are finally seeing this to be the problem that it is and are at least exploring the possibility of doing something about it, it's encouraging.
Indeed. And so, you know, like they keep talking about, you know, we need more medications. We need cheaper medications. You know, Bernie Sanders was yelling at the CEO of Novo Nordisk in a congressional hearing recently, saying we've got to lower the price of these drugs. Americans need these injectable weight loss drugs. There are millions of them who are overweight and obese, and the prices are astronomical. We've got to bring down the prices. We've got to bring down the prices of diabetes medications because there's so many Americans with diabetes medications.
Okay, like a true socialist.
Right. But the answer, and this is a great answer from Marty McCary, who is a gastrointestinal surgeon. And, you know, unlike myself, he's an integrative physician. He is actually within the establishment. He's a GI surgeon at prestigious institution, Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine. Marty McCary said the best way to lower drug costs in the U.S. is to stop taking drugs we don't need. You know, what a pithy statement from a physician who is really, you know, part of the medical establishment, in effect.
Well, he wrote The Price We Pay, which was an amazing, amazing book. He and his team traveled the country. He has also a PhD in medicine administrator things. So he traveled the country.
Masters of Public Health, perhaps, something along those lines, yeah.
Something. Yeah. Well, he went to check out the hospital system, bill insurance companies. They went all over the country, and some of the stuff he discovered is amazing.
Well, like this waste book, and fraud and, you know,
what kinds of fraud and the damage that's being done to people because of it. It is criminal on a level that, you know, our grandchildren will look back at this time and they won't believe what we did to ourselves.
And he criticizes what he terms medical groupthink, which is the adherence to ideas whose time has come, were obsolete and wrong. Example of which is the food pyramid, you know, the low-fat diet. It is really an orthodoxy. And, you know, coming back to some of these remarkable turnarounds and cures, I have to say that, you know, the dogma these days is that the ultimate diet is a vegetarian diet. You know, fat is bad, meat is bad. And if we could just eat a more plant-based diet, we'd save the planet and we'd be healthier. We'd lower our cholesterol. You know, it's all good. But in your personal experience and in the experience of Michaela Jordan, or whatever her last name is, she may have been married, it was not a plant-based diet that was the solution.
Yeah, she called it the lion diet, all meat.
So she was virtually in a carnivore diet, which we don't recommend that people routinely espouse, but as a healing measure for people with certain autoimmune diseases, a paleo diet or even a carnivore diet can be helpful. And it's actually, in this country, the problem is more excess carbs. Carbs drive metabolic disease far more than dietary fat.
Well, in my mind, you know, a lot of people started experimenting with diets after they started developing some kind of chronic health problem. And a lot of times the reason they develop this health problem is because their digestion is damaged.
Mm-hmm.
They have leaky gut, they have biofilm that's, hosting bacteria in there that's damaging the gut lining on a regular basis. And after that happens, a lot of times it's very difficult to, because you go from a vegetarian diet to a vegan diet to a carnivore diet, you go to all fruit diet, fasting, intermittent fasting, long-term fasting, people try all kinds of things. But after you start developing early symptoms, whatever that is has to be repaired.
Mm-hmm.
A diet will help for a lot of people, I would say, but for some people, you have to address what the original cause is first, and then you find the diet that works for you best. So that over the last 20 years, I tried every kind of diet you can imagine.
I can imagine.
But until I resolved the digestive issue, nothing was able to help me.
Yeah, I mean, the importance of the microbiome, I think, is vastly underrated. And in fact, we undermine the microbiome with a lot of the medications and the interventions we do, acid-blocking medications, antibiotics, over-dependence on these.
It's in our food supply. It's in our water supply, if you don't filter your water. So it's damaging your gut. Your gut biome is under attack on a daily basis. And if you're not cognizant of that, then the damage will be severe. And then once the damage is severe, you gain weight inexplicably, you develop a skin condition, you will start getting migraine headaches, have arthritis or psoriasis, and then you say, okay, I'm going to fix my diet. But a lot of times there's so much internal damage that if it's not addressed, it's just going to be a frustrating experience, as it was for me.
You did. Okay. I want to continue with our discussion, but I also want to focus on some disappointing aspects of what to us is an exciting opportunity to platform integrative health and diet at the center of our medical system, which is the reaction from the media and the reaction from certain skeptics about, and certain, frankly, certain political partisans with the notion that because this was under the auspices of a conservative Republican, that somehow the idea that chronic disease can be helped with a more natural approach is a partisan issue, which it is not. It's a bipartisan issue. It cuts across both all party lines. I want to discuss that when we return.
Everything is partisan now. Everything is partisan.
Yeah.
You can't tell anybody about anything. There's a war in Ukraine. There's a COVID. There's masks. There's vaccines. Mm-hmm. There's anything you talk about now, Israel, anything.
It's a polarized environment, so we can't clearly
see. Everybody goes to their corner, and you can't talk to people anymore. I don't know what happened. It was all post-COVID, this evolved. And my eyes were so open, because I did expos for 20 years. And all the hippies and all the lefties were part of my events. I don't care. I didn't even know the difference. I was always conservative in my views, but I couldn't care what kind of comes to my events.
But if you get with RFK Jr., who has been a traitor to the Democratic Party, some people feel, maybe you'll be canceled and ostracized from the natural healthcare movement.
It doesn't really matter. I go in the direction, I follow the North Star. And whatever I have to encounter along the way, it's just what it is. But what's right is right. The fact that our children are sicker and fatter, the population that we're dealing with are consuming 70% of the population are consuming some kind of a prescription medication. It's a travesty beyond comprehension. We're running out of money. With $35 trillion in debt, our healthcare system is about to hit $5 trillion a year. So like in Canada, they were always so proud of their healthcare system. One payer, the government runs it. You just pay higher taxes. It's all great. But inevitably, their lines got longer. And then the access became more difficult. You had to wait for 6 months, 12 months to get an MRI. And now they implemented the MAID service. You familiar?
The what?
MAID service.
Okay. What's that?
Medical assistance in dying.
Oh, okay.
It's killer of Canadians now.
Wow.
So that's what happens when the government runs your health care. They run out of money. So they go to the old troll. What works? You know, you have people that are expensive. You can't afford to pay them. You kill them.
Right. Well, I actually had a conversation. I was on a cruise to Alaska, and I actually ended up talking to a Canadian. He wasn't a passenger. He actually was the boat pilot. And he was killing some time having a cup of tea. And I sat down and chatted him up. And what they do is when they go from one port to another, that the navigation is so challenging that they bring aboard a pilot who knows the local waters, and the pilot helps the steerers of the ship better navigate these challenging straits. Anyway, so he's a Canadian, and I said, so what do you think of the healthcare system? He says, this is great, you know, because I don't have to pay anything when I have a minor problem. And I get that because I just talked to a person who said that they had this, you know, like some kind of stomach bug. They went to your emergency room. They waited and they waited and they waited. They came and checked his blood pressure. After 5 hours, he got sick of waiting and said, look, if I'm going to be really sick as a dog, I'd rather be sick as a dog at home. And he walked away. And then he got a bill for $575 for an emergency room visit where they basically just checked his blood pressure and they kept him waiting. So Canada, that's not happening. But I said, you know, well, what about like something serious? He said, well, I wouldn't hesitate to go to the U.S., and in fact, right on the border are, you know, it's a real industry where they have, they cater to medical tourism from Canada. You know, affluent Canadians can just go into Washington State or, you know, wherever they are in Montana or Michigan, a border state, and get, you know, cash on the barrel and medical care that's available to them on an expeditious basis. I don't know really what the answer is to that, because it seems that our system's flawed, their system's flawed. I think the answer is a lot about root causes, you know, because I think we could really then reduce the number of people who are dependent on medication, and then maybe the capacity of our healthcare system wouldn't be so overloaded. And then we could take care of the people who are really sick without our healthcare system collapsing. But that's another argument. When we return, more on the subject of how to address America's healthcare crisis with an expert. He's Alex Dabrowski, the founder of The Science of Human Optimization, Inc., author of a new book entitled Useful Longevity. And we'll be right back with more of today's discussion. I'm Dr. Robert Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.